And as you enter the shrine, it takes a bit of time, you sort of settle in this openness, the silence. The friendliness. And thanks to the friendliness, there can be a relaxation, perhaps, where outside the shrine, there might not be. Each one of us, we wrestle with whatever is happening in our lives. Maybe wrestle is a bit too strong, but there's a lot going on these days. So outside the shrine, you know, we're doing what individuals do, thinking, sometimes overthinking, even maybe obsessing. Kind of on our little hamster wheels, our habits. So here in the shrine, because it's friendly and open, those habits maybe can relax a bit. Really, they're habits of thinking. Of trying to get a handle on our lives through thinking. So in the shrine, there's another possibility. It's a little bit like when we were children, those of us who were lucky enough to have a loving mother, not all of us, but we can imagine as a child running into a mother's embrace. And before reaching mother, we were crying, we were frustrated. We were caught in our really intense drama, and once we reach the mother's arms, we can relax. The drama doesn't stop though. There's just more space for what lies under the story, under the thoughts, the feelings, the sensations, the breath. So the shrine is like a good mother's open arms. Unconditionally welcoming of whatever we bring. She just takes it. She's not going to do anything. She's not going to even label the experience. And yet, this embrace is pure welcoming of experience. And because it's pure welcoming, it doesn't need to label or analyze or evaluate or compare or project ahead or refer to another situation in the past, because it's a pure, unconditional embracing of experience in the now. That's the shrine that we gather in. So allow what lies under the thinkingness, under the habit of thinking that we were all caught up in outside. Allow the layers now to surface. And they really are more to do with feelings, energy. Emotions, yes, but emotions that are allowed to kind of divest themselves of the narrative. But if there's a narrative, let it come fully, if it needs to come. Meaning if there's a story that, you know, surfaces in the now, then yes, let it come. But I think for most of us, the stories are so familiar. There's such a kind of comfort blanket that keeps us kind of safe from the waves that and the currents. That are really the experience, that are really needing to be met, to be felt, to be allowed. And feel the openness somehow. Feel the embrace. And you might say, well, how do I do that? I don't know. Where is it? What is it? Well, I don't know either. But somehow I know my voice at times arises out of that embrace. And when it does, I know somehow it lands in that embrace. Somewhere to do with the heart. It's very important to really connect with that quality, that possibility. Or in some cases, that knowledge. It's the knowledge of love. it's not the love that we try to buy in the marketplace out there, outside the shrine. It's not for sale. It's free. An experience, whatever it is for you, moment by moment, doesn't need to morph or change or become more loving or more spiritual. It doesn't need to become anything. Just like the sound of this voice is what it is. As it rises, as it unfolds, as it dissolves. So the layers of experience. Are allowed to be what they are. You just welcome the globality of experience when you're in the shrine. Everything included in the embrace, the breath, the temperature, the air caressing the skin, the sounds, it's like a landscape of experience. And as you connect with the embrace, there's more and more layers. It's as if creation was allowed to display itself freely. Because somehow I slowly relax and recognize myself to be more than just this limited, contracted body-mind. My body relaxes and includes the wilderness, of the moment-by-moment flow. And my mind relaxes. And at some point, perhaps I can feel but I am openness itself. And now let's welcome in particular the body. Feeling the body, in the knowledge that this body is, if it's the body that's free of the past and of the future, the body in the shrine, it's fresh, it's wild, it's pure expression of the source. So taste the body. Without any conceptual knowledge. You're the openness, so you don't have to direct your attention. You let the body ripple through you. Feel that the body lives in you. Dances in you. Displays its intelligence in you. Not an intelligence for the mind. Feel where the weight or how the weight of the body dances. Feel the sits bones and the hips, the thighs, the knees, the calves, the ankles, the feet. Feel the arms, the shoulders, the upper arms, the elbows, the lower arms, the wrists, the hands, the tips of the fingers. But those words are so pedantic. Feel the shimmering rivers of your limbs and the substance of the earth. First, maybe hard. Feel temperature, the hands, cups of the palms of the hands. Is there temperature there, quality of warmth? How does it move? How does it dance when it meets whatever it meets? Feel the fingertips and the space between the fingers. But don't go there. Let it come to you because you invoke it, because my naming those places brings them to life. You let them come to life. The hands expanding. Because they can. The weight of the body surrendering to gravity because it wants to. Feel that. Feel the surrendering of the weight is so natural, so organic. Let it happen where it can, the shoulders. Take the time to it. It's as if you were placing the shoulders on this altar of gravity, on this flow. And then place the hips, the pelvis. Let it go, let it go. Place the jaw. The eyelids, see if you cannot do it, even though I invite you to place. You place, but then take your place as the open. Just feel this river of the body flowing down the arms, the legs, the eyelids, the jaw, the back of the body. Only if it wants warm oil flowing down the back of the body. Feel the breath. How does that happen, to feel the breath? Where does it start? Where is the first sensation of breath occur? The tip of the nose dipping out into the space, drawing the breath. Feel the nostrils inside. The swelling of the abdomen with the in-breath. Don't breathe, but let yourself be caressed by the rich experience of breathing. What happened to the surrendering of the weight to the law of gravity? She wants your body. Give it to her. Now feel the top of the head. But I know you can't. But feel it anyway. The invisible top of the head, the transparent place at the crown. Feel how it's open and it's drawn upwards. Just gently push the top of the head as if you could caress the ceiling. But don't create a mechanical body. Feel that you're just listening to the words and seeing what happens. Dropping the sit bones, dropping the lumbar region, and then the spine can rise out and up. The shoulders can drop down, the arms and the legs can flow down. And let the chest radiate out if it wants, let the feelings surface, whatever they may be. Even though the body is still, it's dancing. Let it dance. Feel the edges of the body. Perhaps you can't. If you can't, perfect. But if you can, perfect too. Feel the touch of your clothes on your skin. Feel the places where it's dense, tense, defended. Protecting me, who lives inside a limited body. Enshrining me in a body bag. But that's not what I want or love. I don't like to be enshrined in a body bag, even though sometimes I think I do. In this moment, enshrine yourself in the openness. Feel the pores of the skin are liberated from their job of having to hold me in safe. Let them open, expand, relax. Yes, the shoulders too, the back of the body. Let it touch the space behind. Liberate the me that seems to live in the body. Liberate it. Let it return to the openness. Yes, that one. Feel your face, your eyes, your forehead, your brain inside the skull, your cheeks, your mouth, your lips, your nose, your ears, your jaw, inside your mouth. Touch all of the face with a magic wand and say, hey, you're welcome to come to life. Feel your tongue, tip of your tongue. Feel the aliveness of the tongue, the root of the tongue, the taste of your tongue. Whole face coming to life like a swarm of insects. Heavy eyeballs, soft lips. Doesn't matter, don't worry. Let it do what it wants. Feel the ears, what do they want? Do they want to contract or do they want to expand the opening of the ears? I bet they want to expand, let them. Feel the little hairs at the entrance of the ears, very sensitive. The skin softening. Wide open ears. Shoulders. Soft, cloud-like shoulders. That's what they'd like. They'd like to be transformed into two clouds. And the mask of your face would like to be taken off and placed in the warm sun to melt. Am I right? If I'm not, that's okay too. Something else may come to mind. Feel the spine elongating. Again, the top of the head pushing the ceiling. The same time as the arms and the legs dropping down. I don't live in the body, but this body surely lives in me. What about the chest, the heart area? How would it like to be? What kind of posture am I wearing right this moment? Am I wearing the posture of the victim, of the powerless one, of the arrogant one, the fearful one? What is the posture? Just taste it innocently, compassion. You might even exaggerate it a bit just to feel it, just to let it be seen for what it is at the level of the felt sense. And then come back to the raw feeling of the heart area, of the belly, of the throat, of the spine itself, and just placing it in the embrace and the openness. How would you like to be when you're in the openness? Constantly offering the weight of the shoulders. It's like a puja that never ends, the offering of the weight. It's a sacred thing to offer the weight of the body. It's making it sacred, sacrificing it, putting it on the altar. Now feel movement arising, just innocent. The arms, maybe to begin with a circle with a torso, the whole torso. Very slow, very smooth. Feel that you don't do it. You don't live in the body. You just taste this body as a global ripple, a big ripple. Yeah, now the other side, a circle. Keep purifying the movement of the mover. Yes, now let the torso, the body come back to stillness, but don't do it. So it's the body itself that comes back to its place of peace. You just taste how that body does it. It's so beautiful how the shoulders, the arms, the lumbar area, the breath, how they like to come back to the embrace. And how the embracing openness likes to take the body back. Now the shoulders flowing upwards, slowly, slowly. Don't do it. Two shoulders flowing up like clouds, weightless. Empty the hands and the fingers completely. Empty the face, empty the legs, the hips. Top of the head, and then very slowly the shoulders, the clouds moving back to the openness, dissolving back into the openness. Don't do it. Be the openness. Welcoming these shoulders are like little glitter, they're glitter as they dissolve back. Let the hands rest back down. Feel the layers of the body as we listen like this together. The layers are tender. They're alive. Let them surface. They're wet. They're wet with the surrounding openness. Like a newborn child, wet with life. Let the body be like that. Slowly now with the neck and the head, but there's no neck and head. The eyes are closed. It's just a circle. Tracing a circle. smooth circle, emptied of its weight, emptied of any sense of doing, moving. Let it be wet with life. You're the openness. You don't do any of this. You just taste all the nuances, all the textures. Including the resistance, including the doer, in fact. You're not the doer, but the doer can arise. The sense of effort, sense of end gaining, anticipating. Just tasting those layers. Now the other side with the head and the neck. Nobody doing it. The breath is free. The belly is free. The throat is free. Now the head returns to where it likes to go. Let it go slow. It returns to you. Yes. Drop the eyeballs in you. Let them soften. The lips. What do lips like to do when they're allowed to do what lips like to do? Feel your upper lip, your lower lip. Touching the space in front. Big lips, let them expand. Relax. We hold a lot of tension in the lips. Feel the sensuality of these lips. So connected to the space in front. Yes, and then feel also the skin of the face, very sensual, very tactile. Caress. It's not the face that caresses the space or the space that caresses the face. It's that the face and the space are a caress. Arising in you. Now feel the whole torso and it moves towards the left side. Very slow, empty, ghost-like. The hands, where would they like to rest? And are the shoulders allowed to drop into the hands? Feel the cushion of air in front of the body that deflates slowly so that the torso moves down in front of the left leg or knee or whatever, however you're sitting slowly. Torso stays straight. And then you pause, the cushion of air ceases to deflate. Let the breath be free, let the spine elongate, the shoulders empty. And now the cushion of air inflating very slow, very slow. Bringing the torso back. Don't do it. Just taste the ripples, the discomfort, the heat, the whatever. The head now turning towards the right without moving the torso, just the head. Gliding. Empty helium head. Feel Feel the whole situation. You don't live behind the eyes. That's just a feeling, just a habit. Don't try to get rid of it. But see that you are that which perceives every layer of experience, including the feeling of being located behind the eyes. Breath, hands, the head glides back. Smooth, can you make it smooth without making it smooth? Welcome the little jerkiness with delight. It's full of contradictions, this life. Now feel the torso moving towards the right. Don't do it. Notice the mover when it intrudes upon the landscape. See that it was never a mover. It's just a layer of sensation, the hands. What do the shoulders want to do? Don't they want to drop down through the palms of the hands? And what about the top of the head? Now feel the head is a big empty helium balloon, so it's completely weightless as it turns towards the left. Caressing, pushing the air to the left. Feel the posture, don't live in it. Because when we live in the posture, we don't allow it to live in us. So we limit ourselves and we limit the posture. Feel this posture expanding, radiating in you. Pleasant, unpleasant. That's irrelevant in the shrine. And the head coming back. Smooth glide. Torso moving forward over the right knee. Slowly, the cushion of air deflating, supporting the torso. And then it stops. You can elongate the spine a little bit, pushing the top of the head into the space diagonally, dropping the shoulders, dropping the hips. Empty the posture in all directions. And then the cushion of air, pushing the torso back up. Don't do it. And the torso back to the center. Be with what is, even if it's difficult. but it's effortless to be with what is. What's difficult and effortful is micromanaging what is, having an agenda, trying to manipulate experience. And we are always doing that. It's natural somehow. It's conditioning. So the first thing we have to be with is somehow this habit of manipulating experience, resisting, trying to transform, trying to avoid. And as we do this, we take our place again as this effortless presence. We let this separate one who is fearful of life and fearful of death, we let it unfold. We see it for what it is. And we don't have to get rid of it or anything like that, but it's like we maybe understand that our lives are unfolding without any need for a separate self. It doesn't mean we can't be interested in our lives or explore them or speak about them or wonder about them or try things out, but it's like there's an extra layer that we can little by little we can relax. It's the fear that we can relax. Nothing to fear. Let the movement come if it wants. How does the body want to move? If it's free to move, or how does the body want to move if it's free, freely moved? And it could be one or the other. Just giving the body over to movement now. Don't let the mind or thinking have any role here. Just a raw moment by moment flow of expression, of movement. There's no right or wrong. Keep the eyes are closed. And the music comes from inside somehow. Let the hands and the arms torso be shaped, and maybe what shapes is a feeling, an emotion to begin with. Trust especially those feelings that are being held a little bit at bay, are being contained. Let them out now. This is a time with the movement to really feel the openness all around, limitless, and then a permission for those layers and feelings that usually are contained or held down to move out. The breath can move out of the mouth and sound can come. No making sense now, letting this wilderness take the seat of experience now. Include the hands, include all the parts of the body. The body can stand up so that the feet and the legs can connect with the earth. The elements, the air, the flow, liquid flow of the limbs. Trust the quickenings, trust the wilderings of the moment by moment. If a creature arises in this dance, or an entity appears, or a feeling crystallizes, let it completely free. And the sounds, as if you were possessed by intelligence, and you are. And when I say you, I mean the body now. As if this body was possessed with intelligence. It's not the limited, usual, ordinary, outside the shrine body. It's possessed somehow by truth. And if there's an I don't know, or I don't understand, or this is not spiritual, this is, let that be moved. Let the quickening quicken. Let the slowing slow. Let the smiling smile. Just let it go. Let whatever you've been holding on, let it go. It will come back. Whatever needs to come back, it will come back. Yes. Let it be a prayer. And if there's a prayer in words, let it come. If there's a prayer in chant, let it come. If there's a prayer in gesture, let it come. We're in the shrine, so what comes is sacred. Let your hands know what they know in their sacred way. Your fingers. Feel that we're now, eyes closed. This shrine is out in wilderness, and our feet are bare, and our hair is wild. Feel your pelvis, your belly, and all these parts of the body. sense of touch. Let it be an invocation. Yes. Slowly, let very gently take your time. If you're in the midst of a big unfolding, let it be, let it go. If it feels right, let something start to soften and slow. The hands coming back to rest, maybe on the body somewhere, on the face or on the chest, on the tasting the openness, the stillness all around this flowing movement, this intensity. Letting the intensity return to the stillness. Surrendering the movement back to stillness. Vibrating stillness. Pregnant stillness, the movement always ready to emerge out of this pregnant stillness. Please move often from this stillness. She likes it. You like it. Now the body is still, but feel the liveliness of the cells and textures of your body just the fluids, tissues, your bones, your muscles, your back body, soles of your feet, palms of your hands, blood in your veins, maybe a little bit more. Feeling more welcomed, maybe. Maybe feeling more resonant with the vibration all around of borderless openness, of friendliness. Don't do anything now, just before we open our eyes, just drinking together somehow the cup of presence. Feel like we're passing it to each other, like the blood of Christ, is it? The body of Christ. Well, now we share the body and blood of presence. I don't think blood is quite suitable somehow. Is it? Well, maybe it is. I know some of you would think it is. Or the clean, pure water of presence. Just pass it to your neighbor after you drink. And when you're ready, gently, gently opening our eyes. Maybe shyly opening your eyes, so that, because the shyness is somehow acknowledging something, that you don't have to leave the intimacy of the shrine. You bring it with you, and that's the shyness. That's how I feel when I open my eyes, a bit shy. Having a look at who's here. Hello. Yeah. Take your time to look at one another. Mark, we can't see you. Okay. All right. Hi, Celine. Oh, so sweet to see everyone. So, anybody want to say anything? Please feel free to wave and I'll unmute you, Stephen. And maybe just not to make it too long, simply because I let this. The time go by a bit too much. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just noticing that my most familiar identification is that I'm behind my eyes. And if I, you know, it's odd, of course, because as I'm aware of that, there's a certain sense of being centered there, though it's field-like because it's not, I can't identify any particular center, but it feels more there than
elsewhere,
in my feet.
Sure.
Though I noticed that as I was moving, that I could, in a sense, I could be behind my belly or I could be behind my chest. And yet I noticed I imagined if I was to walk out of the room, I would take this center with me. I mean, I'm not just.
Of course, it's very natural. And we don't have to, you know, really, you know, there is a Stephen here and an Ellen here and a sense of being located as Stephen, as Ellen, but it's very good to notice, for example, the sense of really being exclusively located in the body. And there are areas of the body that are stronger than others, for example, behind the face or sometimes in the heart area, because the face is a place of perception. So the seer, the hearer, the smeller, the speaker. So it's a very strong habit, and it's a very natural habit, but it's very good to begin to challenge it, because actually awareness isn't located behind the face. However, awareness taking a shape does locate itself, but that location doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be gripped. It can
exactly,
be soft and
exactly.
Open.
Exactly. And so in these yoga explorations, I say things just to draw attention, first of all, to that localization, to taste it, because it's made of density and tension. And then, yeah, as you were playing with it, that's great to explore other localizations, to expand it, to relax it. Like right now, you know, we're back in a form where we're communicating with one another, we're sharing. So we somehow, there's that sense of being located is here, but it can be soft, and the heart I don't know. You get my gist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Steve. Nice to see you.
Same.
Just wave if you want to speak. Hi, Karen. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hello.
Hi.
I came upon the term embodiment about, I don't know, 4 months ago.
Yes.
And what's strange to me is that it seems these people are talking about you engage in embodiment after you've made a certain turn towards the recognition of your true nature, always being available. But when you're in the space of your true nature, and I mean, I know we can talk about Karen, we can talk about Ellen, but there's not a movement, like, there's not a self that's practicing or a self that's trying to do something there. There's just unfolding. And so I'm a little tripped up with.
Well, why do you maybe just ditch the notion? I remember feeling that too when I discovered non-duality, and I had previously been using that word embodiment, and I was like, but no, because embodiment, that would mean that consciousness needs to be embodied, but we're doing the opposite. We're trying to, you know, explore this understanding, this feeling, understanding that awareness is unlocated, not separate, not limited. So I also got tripped up. And I remember Francis saying, it's more that we are, how did he put it? Not embodied, in consciousness. He used to try to make a word out of it. But if we're more, a little bit more relaxed with the term embodied, it does have a relevance. You know, It means really more, don't be too kind of semantic about it. Embodied in our case means to doing and exploring what we're doing, meaning tasting the feeling, tasting the realm of sensations, of energy, of vibration, because we do tend to approach experience in life with a lot of thinking. So this idea of embodiment is really more exploring our sacred body, you could say. It doesn't have to be a limited body. Embodiment meaning, I guess, yeah, living more as this flow of life and creation.
Yeah, I think what I had done or was doing was, you know, at least at first with this embodiment, I was like, okay, so now I'm going to work on embodiment. I'm going to practice, you know, but I was a little too heavy-handed with it.
Don't be heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Be light-handed.
Yes.
Yeah. But you don't, you know, you can still use the term. Just make the term fit how you see it.
Yeah. I don't talk about this such stuff much, so
yeah.
I don't, well, I won't need
well,
to think.
Maybe through. Don't talk about, yeah, exactly. Don't use a term. Because, the you know, words can be so evocative of a feeling, like embodied. No.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Nice to see you here. Gregory, you can unmute yourself, Gregory.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is my fourth practicing with you or sharing this in the shrine. I just wanted to let you know that I love the way that you lead them. I don't know how you call that, but the session, I really love, and thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Where are you, French, Gregory, or Italian?
No, I'm French. Yeah, I'm French.
Yeah. Well, I love that you love. You know, it's just so nice to be able to share, and it's such a privilege. And thank you for saying that. You're very welcome.
Y a pas de quoi.
Wolfgang, are you waving or just touching your screen? I'm not sure.
I was touching the screen.
So. Oh, okay. No problem. I wasn't sure. It's kind of a special meeting, because it's the last meeting and it's the day after solstice, and I don't know why. Also because it's a very intense time, I think, for most, you know, for all of us. So I don't know, I just want to say that. Amdeep, you want to share what you emailed me?
Thank you, Ellen.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, everybody. So I was shared this very short film about a week ago, and it's called Upstream, and it focuses on a landscape in Scotland. And some of you may know the Cairngorms. It's like a mountainous landscape. And it basically follows the source, that follows a river to its source. And it's done in a way to also take the viewer back to their source as well. And I just thought, this is what we do every week with Ellen, to try and recognize our common source. I thought it would be good to share. And now that we're going in holidays and people have a bit more time, it's definitely worth checking out. So, and it's done at pace. So it's all done by drone, and it crawls across the landscape, you know, slowly unraveling and unfolding. And I just think it's a meditation, because it reminds me of how my experience is doing this class, you know. So
I'll include the link in when I send all of you the recording. I'll include the link to it, Andy.
Yes, please do. And
thank you so much.
The magazine is where it's hosting is also very good if people are wanting to read articles or podcasts. It's about spirituality and ecology as well.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, Cuckoo, I think it's going to be you, our poetess in residence.
Hi.
Hi.
That is so perfect. Ellen, I just want to say, though, you said something I can't believe I've never connected these words. You said something somehow that you connected sacrifice with sacred. And of course, And then you brought in at the end sacrament. And I thought, well, I don't know if you thought of it as sacrament. I think I'm not so familiar with the Catholic thing, but you drink something and then you pass it to the next, right? You just, or something. But I thought, how perfect. So sacrifice, we sacrifice ourselves for ourselves, of ourselves. Like we drink the sacrament of ourselves to purify ourselves of ourselves, for ourselves, as ourselves. Do you know, that's just so perfect. The water of our, the pure, we sacrifice ourselves for the sacred. And that's the sacrament. So anyway, it's beautiful. That's, but, and then this from Rilke. I believe in all that has never yet been spoken. I want to free what waits within me so that what no one has ever dared to wish for may for once spring clear without my contriving. If this is arrogant, God forgive me, but this is what I need to say. May what I do flow from me like a river. No forcing and no holding back, the way it is with children. Then in these swelling and ebbing currents, these deepening tides moving out, returning, I will sing to you as no one ever has. Streaming through widening channels into the open sea.
Do you think we should hear it again?
I will.
Can we, are you guys okay with it? Because the first time you kind of hear, the second time you can really listen and hear.
But there is one more that kind of like relates to it, but.
Well, you can say it again, because we have time, and then you can say another. You know,
I believe in all that has never yet been spoken. I want to free what waits within me so that what no one has dared to wish for may for once spring clear without my contriving. If this is arrogant, God, forgive me, but this is what I need to say. May what I do flow from me like a river, no forcing and no holding back, the way it is with children. Then in these swelling and ebbing currents, these deepening tides moving out, returning, I will sing to you as no one ever has, streaming through widening channels into the open sea. Just what the friend before was saying about that film, but the, you know, just.
Yeah.
And this is a poem I just learned of the other day. It's called Holding the Light. Oh, did I say the name of that? Oh, that was Rilke, the last one. And the translation, well, I'll just include it, but it was Anita Barrows and Joanna Macy. But this is called Holding the Light for Kate Rhodes. By Stuart Kestenbaum, Holding the Light. Gather up whatever is glittering in the gutter, whatever has tumbled in the waves or fallen in flames out of the sky. For it's not only our hearts that are broken, but the heart of the world as well. Stitch it back together. Make a place where the day speaks to the night and the earth speaks to the sky. Whether we created God or God created us, it all comes down to this. In our imperfect world, we are meant to repair and stitch together what beauty there is. Stitch it with compassion and wire. See how everything we have made gathers the light inside of itself. Can I just, Make a place where the day speaks to the night and the earth speaks to the sky. Whether we created God or God created us, it all comes down to this. In our imperfect world, we are meant to repair and stitch together what beauty there is. Stitch it with compassion and wire. See how everything we have made gathers the light inside itself and overflows? A blessing. You'll see when you read it for yourself.
It's very nice, Coco. It's lovely.
It is beautiful. It's exactly the what we were all, have all been saying.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Coco. Thank you so much. You always find the perfect poems. It's weird. Amazing. Weird. It's weird. Okay, I'm gonna, shall we unmute and just have some cacophony? Let's see. Just feel free to unmute and cacophonize with me.
Cup of
Thank cacophony. You, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome. Happy. Bye.
Thank you.
Take good care. Happy New Year. Bye, Francisca. Nice that you came.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. It's good to be back. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ellen.
Good holiday.
Welcome. So grateful.
Bye, Bill. Thanks for coming. Bye, Emma Jane.
Bye, thank you.
Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Gregory. Bye, Ben. I'll be in touch. Bye, Tati.
Bye, dear.
Bye, Hilka.
Bye. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ellen. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays
for everything, Ellen.
Bye-bye, Wolfgang.
Bye-bye.
Bye, bye. Bye, thank you, and Carlo.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Ellen.
Bye. Bye, Charlie. Bye, Sophia. Bye, Leslie. I know you're there.
Bye, bye, Ellen. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Karine.
Yeah, thank you,
guys, so much.
It's so lovely, Coco, to have your poems, you know.
Treasure them.
Bye, Vesna.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Bye, Baganga.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Francisca.